This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, I have someone joining me from the other side of the Matrix.
Yes, I can attest, people, the Decepticons did not destroy Chicago.
No, they did not.
No, they did not.
So!
That movie is a lie. Fake news. Sad.
I will allow that just because that was actually funny. So, yeah, we're the dynamic duo of Transformers is back.
Yep.
So, I've been doing some various things in this show, and, we have big plans, so we'll just leave it at that.
Very, very big plans. I will be continuing the Origin series at some point. I'm just waiting for certain guests to get their act together. So, yes, Origins will continue. One thing that I've noticed in Transformers recently, not necessarily to do with Hasbro or, you know, anything official, Chris McFeely is doing a series on YouTube called Transformers The Basics. It's amazing. Have you watched any of these things?
No, I haven't watched any of them. I've kind of glanced. I think I glanced at one of them one day, but I got torn away because I was busy with something else. But I know that Chris McFeely is a awesome dude.
Yes.
He is very knowledgeable, just like
Proto Man,
and
Chris McFeely is essentially the UK version of Proto Man.
Essentially, he's also on a lot of podcast stuff, and he does a lot of voice acting in the Audio Nights. And he's also on TF Wiki a lot. He was also the voice of our Dinobot in Dark Glass that never actually made it to the light of day. So,
I will send you his YouTube. I'm sure you have it, but I'll send you, and you can put a link in the post here for his YouTube page for his Transformers the Basic series, because he makes it seem like anybody can approach the brand. Like, you know how I've often said, oh, unless I can start from the beginning, I just don't want to do it because I don't want to get into it because I feel like I need to start from the beginning. He starts us at various points. Like, he talks about a different topic in each one, and he makes it basically so an everyday person can feel like they know what's going on in the Transformers brand without us diehard fans saying, oh no, it's this, or oh no, it's that, or oh no, you need to do this, oh no, you're exiled to the planet of junk to do this because you did this, or you said no. It's nothing like that. It's amazing. It's fun. It's wow. I have to actually catch up. I haven't watched episodes in a little while, but almost every time I watch one, I end up commenting on each video.
Yeah, and funny you should bring up YouTube Transformers. I saw somebody, they were talking about the new Titans Return series.
Mm-hmm.
And were saying, you know, slag that, blah, blah, blah. They said, I would rather watch it once Transformers G1 Redone does it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, but Frederick McMahon on Twitter, or not Twitter, YouTube, has this channel that's Transformers G1, like G-E-E-W-N, Redone.
Yeah.
And he redoes episodes of G1, as well as some TF Animated and some of the... he redid Combiner Wars.
Okay.
It's actually quite hilarious. He took like 20 minutes of Combiner Wars. Like, he chopped it up and put it together into this. And I think there were like 10 minute episodes or 5 minute episodes or something like that. Anyways, it's only 19 minutes long. And it's the whole thing kind of comprised in there. And he redoes everybody's voices. And it's like almost like watching bad lip reading, but with Transformers. And it's hilarious. Like, they have Prime and Megatron making fun of Wingblade, like, the whole time, like, not taking her seriously.
Windblade, not Wing, Wind.
Whatever.
If you're gonna...
She's a throwaway character.
No, she's not.
In Combiner Wars, I see it as that. So I don't care for the character. Because she's whiny.
It's because you haven't read the comics. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't read the comics. But she's a whiner in the Combiner Wars. So anyways, they made her out really whiny in this, and it was funny. So I'm not that I have a problem with a female character. They just wrote her really whiny in the thing. So and then this thing was just MacGuffin filled. Anyways, so it was kind of funny to watch regardless.
Cool. Awesome. So. Yeah, I haven't watched the Combiner Wars stuff. Now that Rescue Bots is done, I'm going to eventually catch up with that series. Now that RID is almost done or is done completely because what's the Twin Twist or whatever the hell the new one?
No, the new series is actually, it's not the Titans Return because that's coming soon. They're having Cyberverse.
That's what it is.
What are your opinions on Cyberverse since I haven't had you on in a while?
Honestly, I have not kept up with any. Like, the only thing Transformers-wise I'm keeping up with, sort of, kind of, because I've been moving the last month and a half, and I'm getting married in less than a month and a half and all that. The only thing I've been keeping up with is this comic solicitations for IDW. Like, I haven't even seen anything from Cyberverse. I haven't seen a trailer. I haven't seen anything. Well,
there is a graphic with Bumblebee, and he has the G1 aesthetic.
Okay.
And it's got the RID kind of, it's almost like, it's got almost RID mixed with animated.
Yeah.
Animation feel.
Yeah, that's what RID was supposed to be.
And it's got Bumblebee in his classic kind of look. I mean, he's still a Camaro looking car, but he's more aesthetically like the G1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Windblade is supposed to be his best friend. And he's supposed to have some high regard mission that he's supposed to remember. And for whatever reason, he's forgotten it, either due to trauma or something else. So her goal is to help him through it because it's like a high priority mission. And they have Prime where he's not wearing the faceplate. But he looks G1, you know, like the RID series. So it's... It looks like it's going to be kind of interesting, but it looks like it'll be probably better than what we've gotten the last couple of years anyway. So I'm kind of looking forward to it to see what they do with it, honestly. But yeah, that's all we've seen from it. There's been a few figures that have come out, but they're like the almost like Legends level.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing of substance there. I know RID just recently had Bulkhead. Coming to the show. Because he's... they've had Ratchet, they've had Prime, they've had Starscream in his original body, they've had Soundwave, they've had... I'm still waiting until they have Megatron show up, because I have a feeling he's going to show up towards the end.
I just hope it's not Megatronus.
It's supposed to be Megatron, as far as I've heard. Because it's... You know, reluctantly, his... It's supposed to be like a band of Decepticons that are fighting the actual Decepticons that are, in Megatron, if you remember, kind of was like, forget this, I'm done.
Yeah.
He's like, screw you guys, I'm going home. Kind of like the Combiner Wars where G1 Megatron's like, screw this, and he's gone, and he's just out on a backwater planet, just gladiator fighting.
Yeah.
So... I think it's going to be very similar to that, but I'm kind of liking the fact that they've kind of given them that Robots in Disguise animation, but kind of kept as much of their aesthetic as possible. So yeah, it's on
YouTube.
A couple different places, I should say. So yeah, there's that, and then we've got, of course, Transformers Bumblebee.
Yes.
Which I'm kind of...
I honestly don't know. As I've said before in the past when we've done news episodes, which it's been forever since I've done a news episode, but little bits and pieces of information, like the fact that Steve Jablonski had stated that he may not be able to produce music for the Bumblebee movie because of other projects he's working on currently. That's kind of disappointing, but he does say that he's under the impression that the movie will be released in summer 2018 rather than Christmas, since scoring only happens during the final stages of post-production. And according to TFW, we can guess that there is still a chance for him to compose if approached by Paramount. It would be great if Jablonski did the Bumblebee movie, because his scores have been good, excellent, amazing for all of the films. That's my favorite part of the live-action films at this point, is his music. However, because it's technically a solo film, I almost want to see somebody else approach it just for that one film.
I have this distinct feeling like it's going to turn out that way.
Yeah.
And that's more so because, you know, look at the Star Wars movies, for instance. The individual films have different people usually helming different parts of it and different...
Michael Giacchino did Rogue One.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think that it's kind of fitting if they have different people do the solo films.
Yep.
However, there's only going to be 4 robot cast members for the movie.
What?
Which, only one of which is Bumblebee, and we know of a possible Decepticon in a red 1971 Plymouth GTX. So there's 2 more. So there'll be either another Decepticon or another Autobot or another 2 Decepticons. It's hard to say. So yeah, it's going to be mostly a human-based film, which kind of, again, sucks. I'm not a fan of RoboKibble, so the movie universe doesn't really fit my tastes, but I know that some people like them.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, John Cena as a Sector 7 agent. You've got Jason Drucker, who I'm not even sure who that is. And then Haley Steinfeld on the set. So, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see what they do with it, because it's a solo flick and it has nothing to do with the current continuity. And
right.
It's not Michael Bay. It's not any of the same stuff. So it kind of strikes me, because I think that it's going to be a different aesthetic and different style to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that this series sorely needs at this point.
Yeah,
I think we need someone else's vision and someone else's writing and someone else's production company dealing with this, and not anymore of Michael Bay.
Right.
I mean, absolutely. I can't say he's done terrible, because he's reinvigorated the franchise like Beast Wars did back in the 90s. But
yeah.
Same token, I'm kind of sick of this.
Yeah. What is so interesting to me for Jablonski and his scoring stuff. Obviously, he worked on Bay's The Island, but he did the music for Desperate Housewives. Can't believe that. No, I find it hilarious more than anything else. Like Transformers and Desperate Housewives. He did the music for Pain and Gain, which is a Bay film. He did the music for Ender's Game.
I saw Ender's Game. That wasn't too bad. I mean, it wasn't great, but the book was definitely better.
He did the music for the new, of course, at this point it's 7 years ago, the 2010 version of A Nightmare on Elm Street. He did the music for that.
I think that's getting a reboot, too.
Probably is.
I'm sure all of them are at this point.
Yeah.
Reboots galore. It's like Oprah. You get a reboot, and you get a reboot. You get a
reboot. Yep. Oh.
Where's actual reboot?
No. I was going to say, for the art for this episode, you should have her saying that, and then have Bob come up and say, what reboot or something like that? I don't know. Anyway, what else we got for Transformers stuff on your end?
Well, I mean, other than the Machinima series, which I'm looking forward to, I know that the Headmasters fan dub is going to be working on another episode, finally. Because I'm privy to that information, as I'm one of the voice actors. I do the voice of Scourge, which is awesome.
Cool.
I still enjoy doing that. I don't have I I literally have not recorded a vocal for that in probably 2 years.
Hmm. You should probably get on that then.
Well, it's not even my fault. I'm waiting for the next script. It's, I think that the last time I got an episode was episode 8. And now, mind you, this thing started over after I initially started it. I think it made it episode 5, and then somebody else took it over and started back from episode 1 and redid it because they wanted to give it more of a Generation 1 vibe.
Right.
And so we all had to, we had the option to pick up our characters again. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, I want to be cemented in this fan dub. So I of course rejoined, and so I've done Scourge through the original set that we did, and then the rebooted version. But I still enjoyed doing it. The hard part was when I first started doing it was getting the voice down, and it wasn't even getting it down. It was getting it to fit within the Japanese mouth flaps.
Right.
And getting it to fit in the time span before it jumped to the next person speaking. And there were certain phrases that I had to say, which still are... like, I can hold the voice, but the longer Scourge talks, the harder it is to keep the voice
uniform. Yeah.
Because he talks like this. You won't escape alive. And, you know, and then Rodimus Prime and, you know, something else. And then so it kind of, it gets hard to say, like, the whole sentence because there was a whole debacle with talking about Galvatron. Mighty Galvatron. And, you know, and then Metroplex and Sixshot and something else in the conversation. And I was like, man, I just can't hold it. And so, like, I had to go through the rounds of, oh yes, and doing a bunch of Megatron vocals to get the voice to,
vocal.
Yeah, well, because they're actually tied together, which is funny because I get to this natural progression of Megatron by trying to do Scourge, because the more I scratch my vocal cords by doing Scourge, the better I can do Megatron. Right. It's like when I'm sick is the best time to have me do Megatron. Because I can do Beast Wars Megatron no problem when I'm sick. Because that's the only voice that I can get that comes out and sounds perfect. My own voice sounds like garbage when I'm sick. But the minute I try and do Megatron, like I pretty much when I'm sick, I will talk in pretty much Megatron's voice almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easier for me to do, and it doesn't hurt. It's cool. Like if I've got a sore throat, that's like my go-to. I'm like, "Are you Megatron for the day, children?" And then my son's like, "Dad, stop." Ian's like, "Dude, he's like, Dad, stop doing that." And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "I'm not doing anything." Having an argument with my kid doing Megatron and. And the younger one just thinks it's hilarious, and then Ian's like, stop. He's not very amused by it anymore. Like, it used to amuse him, now he's just like, stop it! Do some other voice, go away. Or, like, if I start doing other voices, he's like, it's not funny.
You should start doing the Joker for him all the
I
time.
I did that,
now.
And it scared the crap out of him, so I quit doing that. It just sounds...
You should...
It sounds so evil, so, like, he's... You know, I pretty much relegate that to when I'm, like, irritated around the house. And I go, oh, bloody hell! And then, which almost sounds like Steve Bloom's Starscream, in a sense, but...
Yeah. You should do that, like, when you're going to wake him up. Do the Joker.
Hello, children.
That's funny.
It's your dear old Uncle Joker here.
Yep.
Ah, yes. Wake up now. Yes. So, yeah, and then on this podcast, we're going to be doing the Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo reviews. Although right. Those will be delayed for a little bit because I'm going to be out of town for the weekends for the next 2 weeks. So
Yeah, I'm hoping. Well, I know you're still going to have content, but I'm hoping to get at least one or two Origins episodes in, so that way the content keeps going.
Keep on flowing.
I don't know. All right, so I mentioned earlier in the podcast about the Transformers IDW comics. I'm not currently actually reading them, but I'm keeping up with the solicitations from IDW, and I just got the January 2018 solicitations in for all of IDW's titles, but obviously since this is a Transformers podcast, we will focus on those specifically. Transformers Lost Light number 14, written by James Roberts, Brendan Cahill, and Jack Lawrence on art. MacGuffin Quest. The scavengers have never had it so good. The war is receding, is a receding memory. Their patchy service records have been forgotten, and the five of them can roam the galaxy as they please. All's well that ends well. Question mark. Not quite, because unbeknownst to Crook and Co., their next adventure will be their last. Dun, dun, dun. Then there is Optimus Prime number 15, written by John Barber, art and all that stuff done by Kizama. I assume it's K-E-I, so I assume it's Kia, I don't know. Anyway, The Falling, part one. Darkness falls over Cybertron as the legendary Onyx Prime returns. What does this mean for Optimus Prime and the Earth? Windblade defends an already tense planet against a secret that could shatter Cybertron forever. And then we've got the last one here, Transformers versus the Visionaries, number 2 of 5. This is written by Magdalene Visaggio, and art is done by Fico Osseo. Verlina, leader of the Darkling Lords, has discovered that the Transformers are vulnerable to magic. And now she's using that weakness to try and gain control of Cybertron and wipe them out. Lyric and Ironhide team up to stop her, but quickly find themselves facing not only the Darkling Lords, but all of New Prismos itself. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I'm so far behind on the Transformers comics as far as reading them, and there is a point to that, because eventually Ryan Merkley and I will come back and do another Autobotly April and or Autobotly August next year for all things Transformers and the pull bag. I have not even read the new Optimus Prime comic or the Lost Light comic, which is the reboots of More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise. I have several of the Windblade comics already. I know you said you're not into comics, but I want you to get just a better feel for her character other than what you feel is the crappy written animated version. So I will send you those and you can read them at your leisure, just so you can see that she's more than what she's made out to be in the cartoon. And I put him to sleep, folks.
Sounds good. Sounds good. It's not that I'm disinterested in the comics. I literally just don't have time to sit there and stare at them anymore. And it's also because I'm not a fan of, I haven't been a fan of anything IDW's put out personally, because like I see it going in way too many directions. And whereas like there was strictly one line with when I was a Marvel follower, when I was a Dreamwave follower, like, yeah, there were different, like, there was Armada, there was, you know, Energon, there was G1, and then they were going to have a Beast Wars series, which I collected all the different ones, but they were totally different universes. So, like, that's kind of where I get a little bit thrown off, is, like, I don't want to have to keep up with everything going on.
Okay, so I will explain this to you off rep.
I loved the aesthetics of Dreamwave over this stuff. Like, that's kind of what it boiled down to. And after that, I was kind of done. Like, I collected some of the stuff here or there, and I do like some of the graphics I've seen on some of the covers and some of the stuff inside, but I really haven't followed any of it since IDW took over, other than the Beast Wars material. And even then, like, that's about all I cared about. And if Dreamwave came out with another Beast Wars series, I'd be all over it. But I haven't had any interest in half the, or in investments in the characters they've had.
Right. Well,
because like I see Megatron as leader of the Decepticons, I see Prime as leader of the Autobots. Like anything else, it just kind of throws me out, and I'm old school like that. So like I don't, rather than sit and piss and moan about them and who's in charge and all these different, you know, dynamics going on, I just don't read it.
All right. Well, there are several things I can point you to, not necessarily reading, but you can at least listen, and you can decide for yourself if you want to actually read the things, because Ryan and I pretty much go in depth on every single thing we've done with these series. So we can tackle that another day.
Sounds good.
Yep.
So I think that about rounds this out.
Yes, it does.
So until next time, transform and roll out.